is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
You down, and no matter what you do, I'd always be around. You treat me like a schoolboy, that you know is true. It makes no difference, darling, I'll take care of you. You know I'm smiling with you. Oh, ain't that loving you, baby? I know that loving you.
Oh, yeah, Bobby Bland, Bobby Blue Bland. Ain't that loving you on K108. It's 8 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. Time once again for the Carol Cox Show on this Sunday, day before Labor Day. And 524-1080 is our number here. We have open phones today, and also we have a guest or two coming on the show later on. Right now, here's Carol.
All righty. That was some of the old Chitlin Circuit music there from the Delta and the Chicago Blues, right? And Little Milton, Albert King, Otis Rush, B.B. King. Now, that's really soulful music. But anyway, good morning, and thank you for joining me. We're going to have an open mic. If you'd like to call in on any subject or something's bothering you, or you'd like to talk with me about anything, 524-1080. And you can pick this up at podcast at carolcox.com. That's CarolCox.com. You can email us at carol@carolcox.com. But anyway, I first want to thank the thousands of you who have gone to the website in the past week. And it is it's amazing how the word gets out. And many of you have called and written and talked about the ping situation and thanking me for getting it in the paper and giving the other side. And I feel good. That tells me that we're on target. While we may not be right, and I was hoping... My friend Ed and a few others out there, I wanted to hear your side, and so feel free to call in. As I say, I welcome, no matter how we might think, you may think, but that's your prerogative, but we do invite you to call in and chime in. But again, one little note, speaking of the pains, well, we're going to have a memorial today at 11 o'clock at Magic Island on the Ever side of Magic Island at the entrance there in the cold. by the lifeguard tower. You're welcome to come, and in death we can not speak for ourselves, but those that know us, when we pass on, it's okay to come out and speak good. And those of you that wish to continue to speak ill of her, just remember there's a great moral tax that you'll end up paying. So just a little word to the wise. Well, let's respect our fellow man and woman. And we live in such a beautiful place, so we should act accordingly. But anyway, I just yesterday I looked, and there was 5,816 downloads just on the pain story in itself. So, and that was just for like 2 or 3 days. So thank you, and I hope that I don't disappoint you, and I'm not trying to do super things, I guess, but at least I'll do my part in trying to be honest. Not trying, what do I mean trying to be? Being honest. Let me qualify that. Okay. But again, feel free to call in. And we have a couple things going on that I wanted to share with all of you. If you see anything, yesterday there was a big fire, and at the Wai'ava. This is, to my knowledge, the third fire in a couple of days, or a month at least. And let's try and put a stop to it. So if you see or hear anything, step up to the plate and call in. Call in anonymously and report it to the fire department or the police department. Anything you've seen or know about these incidences, because they cost us a lot of money. And just yesterday, the reason the freeway was shut down, imagine the utility lines, or poles we'll call them, some of them burned, and that reduces the integrity of the poles. And imagine those wires snapping and falling on the freeway, and the great many people that can be harmed, maimed, or killed. And imagine the amount of money that is spent and lost. And this was on a weekend. So whoever it is out there that's having fun or whatever you're doing, I'm thinking that someone you out there know. So please feel free to call me. You can call me anonymously as well, and I will definitely get it to the authorities. Let's not tolerate this that with any fire or any behavior such as that. So anyway, you can call me at 782-6627. Again, 808-782-6627. All righty. I'm going to have, I invited Barbara Steinberg, Miss Barbara Steinberg from Maui, to talk briefly about, she has an effort there to protest foie gras. Foie gras, however you wish to pronounce it. But it's. She wanted to talk about some of the practices of how foie gras is made. And so it's disturbing, and some of you may find it okay. And this practice, from what I know of it on the periphery, they stuff the animal with cornmeal and what have you, and force stuff them with a pipe down the throat, and it causes the liver to become diseased or swollen. And that is actually what you're eating as foie gras. So she is going to be calling in and talking about her protests and a demonstration, I should say, with the other people there on Maui, attempting to get some of the restaurants to stop selling it, or because of the inhumane treatments that they are concerned with. But anyway, if I think she's with us now. Good morning, Barbara.
Morning, Carol.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm okay. I was just giving a little brief update. You probably couldn't hear it, but in a little segue into what you're talking about. And this, what is actually going on? Are you having a demonstration on Maui?
Yes. I'm coordinating some protest demonstrations at two restaurants in Maui this coming Friday on the 18th at Sansei Seafood Restaurant and Sushi Bar in the Foodland Shopping Center in Kihei from 6 to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And the following week on Friday at Gerard's Restaurant mm-hmm. in Lahaina on Lahaina Luna Street
mm-hmm.
from 6 to 8 p.m. as well.
And why are you having, why have you targeted these or are you protesting these two facilities?
We're protesting because a dish they serve called foie gras, which I guess you told them something about it, is inhumane according to many sources. And we hope that your listeners, if you go to a French restaurant, you also don't buy this dish or tell them to take it off the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And this foie gras it makes the ducks have terrible suffering. But the mm-hmm. farmers use these air pumps and pump up to 4 pounds of mush injected by these machines into each duck daily.
Mm-hmm.
4 pounds to force them to ingest enough food so their livers swell to 10 times more than is normal and natural.
Mm-hmm.
And each duck is struggling to and is restrained, and a long metal pipe is shoved down his throat 2 to 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And their esophagi are sometimes punctured painfully during this violent force feedings, and access to water is so limited that the ducks are unable to clean vomit, feces, and mush from their nostrils, eyes, and often become blind.
Mm-hmm. So what then, they process that, and is it the liver you're saying that they cut up, and that is what you're eating at the restaurants? It's processed and what have you?
Yes, it's actually the swollen livers of the duck, and it's according to the one group, the bird's livers become so enlarged that according to documentation by veterinarians that animals must experience unspeakable pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And the birds have literally exploded from these force feedings.
Mm-hmm.
And the dead birds that have been force-fed show ruptured livers, throat damage, trauma, and food spilling from the dead animal's throat and out of the nostrils.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're just not doing this because you just want to have to meddle. You're mostly concerned because of the humane or the inhumane treatment?
Yes, that's exactly it. And it just seems that this is an overpriced and unhealthy appetizer that anyone can do without.
Mm-hmm.
And it is inhumane. And Wolfgang Puck, who has, many of you have heard of, he's taken it off of his menu. And in California, they've outlawed it in 15 nations, including UK, Czechoslovakia, Republic Denmark, Finland, Germany, and Luxembourg, Norway, Poland, and Sweden, and Switzerland, and Israel, which was previously the fourth largest producer in the world, outlaw force feeding for foie gras.
Mm-hmm.
And so only by informing the public and elected officials about the inherent cruelty of foie gras will the needless suffering of birds for this dish be end.
Mm-hmm. Put a stop to it, huh?
Yeah. And the workers, after they force feed the duck, they throw them across the pen off and they're grabbing the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So
you have a situation of mass farming or...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, where is this, again, your protest or demonstration is going to be real quickly? Whereabouts?
Yeah,
and when?
Okay. Next Friday
mm-hmm.
on 9/18 at the Sansei Seafood Restaurant and Sushi Bar in Maui at Foodland Shopping Center in Kihei, 6
mm-hmm.
to 8 p.m. And then the following Friday on 9/25 at Gerard's Restaurant on Lahaina Luna Street in Lahaina, Maui, 6 to 8 p.m., and we would love to have more volunteers, and we hope that you do some volunteers in Honolulu, too, some demonstrations.
Well, how do they contact you real quick?
My phone number is 879-0025.
879-0025.
Yep.
And Barbara Steinberg. Okay, well, thank you, and I hope you luck, and we'll keep us posted on the results and any responses you get.
Thank you so much for letting me speak about it, and have a good show.
And if you get a chance, let the restaurant owners know that they are welcome to call us here at the same number, and we'll give them equal time. Okay?
Okay, and can I just say one last thing?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, the foie gras is like force feeding a human 31-pound boxes of dry pasta and then adding water. And it's proportionally how much a 150-pound human would be force-fed. It's 31-pound boxes of dry pasta.
Okay.
So you can see that it's really... And the liver started... The normal liver is only 5 grams, and it goes up to... 50 grams, and goes up to 300 grams.
Oh, okay.
So you can see, I just wanted to action how disastrous this is for them.
All righty. Well, thank you. All righty.
Aloha. Aloha. Bye-bye.
Mahalo. All righty. Good morning, our friend. Ed, you there?
Yes.
How are you?
Oh, I just heard, was listening to that lady. She's going to have this demonstration of these. You should go, actually, sure, have a live duck and show us how it's force-fed.
Is she going to have a live duck there to show how
she said she's
going
to have a demonstration on how this is done.
Okay. No, I don't think so. No, Ed, I don't think so. But what would be the term? Self-mutilating, you defeat the purposes, I guess.
I don't know how you demonstrate it without using a live duck. But
hey,
I love foie gras, but it's too expensive. I don't eat it a lot, very rarely.
Hey, I want you to know you let me down. For the past 3 weeks, we've been rattling cages here and didn't hear a word from you. I was thinking something's wrong. I was going to send out the posse for you, go search party.
I've been golfing.
Golfing?
Golf course.
Uh-oh.
But,
see, I'm jealous now.
But the other question is, I wonder if she eats fried chicken and see how the chickens, young fryers are packed in and force-fed also in the fish farms, chicken farms in the east.
Right.
It's another thing. You know, I guess she's kind of bored with life, doesn't have anything else to do. But I love foie gras, like I said. But I haven't been listening to show. This pain you're talking about, what is that all about?
Oh, that was the...
Maybe I should go on your...
Go on the website there. It was in the... in fact, I thought of you early on. You said, well, why don't you go to the newspapers with these stories? Well, just last Friday, we talked about it on the show twice, and then it followed up with a front page story on the advertiser and then TV regarding this. This was a hospice facility there, Animal Havens, where the lady passed unexpectedly and had many animals that she was caring for over the years. That's what she's been. And the Humane Society of the U.S. and the Humane Society of Hawaii, or the Hawaiian Humane Society. I'm finding some way to legally strike that name, Hawaiian, because their behavior doesn't suggest it's Hawaiian from what I've come to learn about Hawaii.
Oh, that story about the 400 animals.
Right, and they went in, and being that you raised this, you know, what I didn't know, and you know, we're all patriots and what have you, but I didn't know that her husband was a lieutenant, retired lieutenant colonel with 31 years in the Army, and here you have do-gooders coming in and sneaking on the backs of other people who mean to do well, and recording him, videotaping his facility, and while telling him it's a training video, but then they go and put it on the website, and soliciting money with a donation button, and then gave written affidavits and all of that, you know.
Yeah, Pamela Byrne, she's too anxious for that. Well, I hope they just don't stop those fun drives at the Royal Wine Hotel, you know, where you wear a tuxedo, drink champagne, eat chocolates. I love that. Anyway,
okay.
I'll let you go on with your show. Thank you.
All right, Ed. You take care. Well, anyway, that's the way it plays out here, you know. The idea here, especially at the station, is we want to give everybody, in my opinion, everybody equal time. And your opinions are just as good, and mine's are crazy most of the time. And occasionally I come up with something that makes sense. But, you know, but feel free anytime. We don't take anything personal around here. But I'm always looking for Ed's comments and his insight, because Ed is there's representative of many people. We are varied in our opinions, and so we should always be willing to listen. So anyway, you know, again, if you want to join us today at 11 o'clock at Magic Island, we'll have a memorial for Bonnie Linda Ping, and thanking her. She's already been entombed there at the Veterans Hospital, Veterans Cemetery. And we just want to say some nice things and that we didn't get a chance to say to her. Well, occasionally I would, but I want to say more. And I think there's many of you out there who would like to. And if you want to have a comment or share, just you can either call in if you have a story that you know about Bonnie, please feel free to call in and share it. But anyway, couple things. We're in this tug of war with the budget, the state budget. And I have some crazy ideas of that I'd like to suggest to the governor and anybody else that's willing to listen if they're honest, and the unions. One, yeah. Well, this is going to play two ways. We had the Micronesians, and those the people that were being impacted were they had the death warrant sealed because they're on dialysis, and we couldn't find the money to care for them. And I'm myself. I was busy with other things, but I felt like I had failed them and abandoned them, and because I put a lot of work in running and helping animals and talking about the environment, but here was a people who were impacted, and they were left to their own, sitting there and having to strike up the band, so to speak, and to challenge this to these people on dialysis. And when you're on dialysis, you have a certain time. And we the community here in Hawaii abandoned them. And I do my apologies, because I do feel that I abandoned my fellow man. And so saying that the next time we have this situation, I mean, we exploded bombs out there. We, this nation, and we, and the French, and all that whole area. And so we owe them. And the federal government puts the money, and we fail to put in for the money or request it or what have you. But I do personally feel a bit ashamed in seeing them struggle, and they weren't asking for anything. And it is a fact that they need medical care. And so my heartfelt apologies to that community, to the Micronesian community, and I do. I'm hoping that each of you out there feel a bit of concern and express it, because today it's them, tomorrow it's us. And so, having said that, you know, we have a budget crisis, supposedly. Why do we have driver's education in our schools? I believe that if you are a parent and your child, and I drove in driver's ed when I was in high school, and that was good. But when there's a crisis, and when there are people that can't get medical care, and we're they're staring death down. And we could just start with driver's education that is in the schools. We could take those positions, those cars. If a family wants their child to learn to drive, it should be their responsibility. And these that would, in my opinion, and just my opinion, is a luxury. And so when you see people begging to get medical care, and we have cars running around, student driver, I think we've lost our perspective as to what we are as human beings. Now, I know that's nitpicky, but again, that comes with a car, it comes with an instructor, it comes with the administration. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have it, but in these hard times, when we're having to take drastic measures such as we're seeing, we should start to think about cutting those positions. And I don't know the budget, but I'm sure when you look statewide, and also it would probably create business for the private driver education companies, which do exist. So we shouldn't be spending the money for such a luxury. Secondly, if we're out here and you see, there's a great many of state workers, for example, they retire. And then the next couple days they come back working in the same capacity or go to another agency. Well, if you retire, then take your budget and your pension and go on down the road and go play golf or what have you. Don't have the revolving door, especially in a budget crisis. And so the governor could look at a great many of those positions, those temporary hires. We don't hear anything speaking about them. You know, if you retire from one state agency and you got your pension and what have you, go work for a private company. But don't milk the cow, the state cow, and then turn around and come back and you're getting overtime, you're getting vacation, and some of them are temporary and some of them are just rehires. So it is this kind of thing, and I don't believe it would impact in a great many vital positions, plant quarantine people, ag people. A great many of them are going threatened with even the people at the landfill that manage the landfill. We've had so many problems. The health department is cutting the engineers or removing the engineers from the landfill. So I'm concerned that what we're seeing here is just a ploy on the part of the governor and a lack of sincerity on the part of the unions to really sit down. I don't know about the furloughs. I don't care about them. I don't, you know, but when you're destroying some workers' lives while allowing temporary workers and then allowing student driver cars to drive around, and all of the waste, if we were to cut the waste just in those things, and when we get better and get back on our feet, come back and open up the driver ed if it is so important, or we see it that way, or see that we should have it. But we should not continue this practice, and it doesn't take a genius to figure this one out. Again, many of the leases that that I personally know of, you take, for example, Pier 38. There's this humongous building sitting there right now. Why isn't it being rented out? Well, they say it was methane, but now it's been many years, and they haven't figured it out. But the reality is it's not methane. It's just that they built it without any permits, building permits. And so if you were to go in as an interested business, you would have the responsibility of acquiring a permit for something that's already built, and no one wants that problem. So the governor should sit down and, saving money, tighten the belt. The gentleman that produces shark fin, you've heard me talk about a business here that imports shark fins. He brings them in, and I just found out that he's using water there at the facility, but learned that he's not paying for the water. So it's these little simple things, and they repeat themselves over and over and over on state properties. You go up at Costco at YPO, there's a little triangle property there that you have private companies using a portion of it, but paying no rent. So if we were to just look at that, and I think, so that's why I say, I believe that the governor is being disingenuous when she talks about such a crisis of finances, because she's not telling everybody we need efficiency, we need to look at all of our back pay and rent, we need to look at increasing the rent on those that have gotten away with cheap rent for a while. But instead, we see this discussion back and forth and these temporary hires. But there are many, many other things, but that one cuts the cake. So we're going to take a break here for a minute, and just again, in honor of Bonnie Payne, I'm going to play a little bit of Mahalia Jackson. So hang in there, and we'll be right back. 524-1080 if you got anything on your mind. Aloha. Back to the Carol Cox Show. Just doing a little bit of everything today, and want to say, Ellen, if you're out there and listening, I'm still looking into your matter regarding the one you called me offline. Just know that I've gone and pulled up some papers for you, and I'm still checking, and so hang in there, and I'll have you some information soon. And thanks for listening. And that goes for any of you out there. If there's something that we can help you with, we don't make any promises, and we don't, we're not here conducting a business for anyone. It's just that if you have something that you think we can help you with in getting up to that next level in bureaucracy, dealing with government or what have you, or something's aching you, just not sitting right, feel free. Or you can also call down at the Channel 2, the Action Line, and they will either look into it or call and refer you to me. So either way, Ellen, I hadn't forgotten you, and I'm looking at it, and in fact I have a letter here from October 17, 2000 that we were able to recover, and we're looking. still trying to see what we can do with you and help you out. Okay, but that's what we have here, and I'm going to digress a bit, and we talked about foie gras. So in that vein, I want to... Isn't it funny, and that, you know, if you... A lot of the animals that we deal with, either in our diet or in our daily lives, take for example, now while it might strike you as being kind of weird that someone would be caring about a duck or whatever, being force-fed a cornmeal to cause its liver to swell, and imagine being a rhino and you're sought for your horn and you're wiped out. You're annihilated. Your population is reduced to small numbers because your horn serves as a aphrodisiac. Isn't human beings pretty funny? How did we ever arrive at the point to learn that a rhino horn was good for an aphrodisiac? I want to meet that. I wish I was there to see that first incident. I just can't even begin to imagine how someone arrived. Was it the caveman, or I just don't know who it was or what it was, but I just can't bring myself to imagining how we concluded, man concluded, that a horn of a rhino would improve his sexual prowess. I'm still lost on that one. But then we take elephants. We've decimated the population of elephants due to habitat and what have you. But also, the ivory trade. You have one massive, beautiful animal that took eons to evolve, and we wiped them out for their tooth or their tusk. And if you can imagine, or in some instances where they take the foot of an elephant and make a wastebasket out of it. And then there are some that take the elephant hair and make bracelets. And then others take the elephant skin to make boots and purses. So imagine, the foie gras is just one example of what we're faced with and what we as human beings, and I think we have, I think we've become intelligent enough to know that the equation, this whole thing is not playing out right. We take birds, we decimated populations of birds because they had that feather and we wanted the feather in our hat to the lady to look good. And I'm just, maybe you can share with me out there, what are we thinking about? And sometimes, on a more comical note, I often wonder, why do we want to do space travel? We shouldn't bother with space travel. We don't need to go to another planet to find out if there's life in it, because I can assure you, the instant we find life on another planet or another whatever universe, a couple things we're going to be concerned with. Priorities. Can we wear it? Can we eat it? Can we farm it? Can we mass market it? Can it work for us? Can it make our life easier? So imagine, that's what we're going out in space, part of it. Now, I know to broaden our education and our intelligence and see if we can find our long lost loved ones out there floating on a rock or somewhere. But when you really think about it, we're anything that we come in contact with as human beings, it seems that we, historically, we've had a desire to either eat it, cage it, see if it was sing for us, turn it into a purse, a belt, a ring. And what does that do for us? You know, and I know that quite often people say, well, you know, the animal rights or the activists out there, they're silly and they're goofy and what have you. But these are questions. And if we're the higher beings and we're smart enough to break the pull of the gravity and get out in space and seek things, our priority shouldn't be, one of them should not be, can we eat it, cage it, or mass grow it to make food for us? Because they, right here on this earth, everything looks different than we do. But if you notice, Sometimes they've said animals don't have feelings. And I don't subscribe to that because I believe they do. And I believe they look different, but they have life. And, you know, the gorilla, for example, the silverbacks, I've actually personally seen where they take the hand, cut the hand off of gorillas and make ashtrays out of them. Or take the puffer fish and blow him up and make a lantern or a light, a lamp. So what can you do as a citizen or as a more intelligent, quote, intelligent being? What can you do to avoid that? Well, don't go out and buy Viagra if you think you need to be macho, mucho man or whatever you are. Or Cialis. I don't know. It's not a commercial for them. But go out, start thinking in those terms. Let's lay off the bears. You know, we go out and we shoot bears, for example, the black bear, so that we can get the gallbladder and leave the bear there. Get the gallbladder. And we might take the teeth to make a necklace, or we might take the paws to make a necklace. And once again, harkening back to this sexual prowess of men, it's so sexy to have a bear rug, you know, to bring the animal out in you, How ridiculous, you see. And so I'm speaking in these terms because, and talking about it in this way, because sometimes we see, quote, activists like Barbara Steinberg, who talks about having a protest, and we take their statute and diminish it or reduce it to as being kooky. But we as a race of people, humans, we should stop for a moment and think really what we're doing to ourselves, because we're going to eat ourselves out of house and home. And we're going to. There won't be any birds singing. And we have CDs, I'm sure some of you say, well, we have the Living Planet videos that we can always watch. But nothing's like the real thing. And so that's what we are as a people, as a race of the human race. We need to ask ourselves that a lot of these things, animals have gone by or become close to extinction or extinct. Because the man wanted to make himself better sexually. And, you know, you take a gallbladder from a bear, and that bile is supposed to heal you and cure you, not just for sexual drive, but, you know, this is the thing that happens to us all. We get caught up in the selfish needs and we don't think about other living beings that, or creatures that make up our world. So I know you probably can go, well, he must have been smoking something. No, I don't smoke anything. It's just that all my life I've had these concerns as a child, and I think we have, when we look around us, the only thing we're going to see lately is in the zoo. You know, we have contaminated our waters. We say, well, we got a Malama Aina, the Aina, for our keikis. Why not just Malama the Aina for what's right and not being selfish? You know, the fish farming, all of that. Why? One has to ask himself. Why are we raising fish when nature gave us billions of pounds and tons? Why? Because we've eaten ourselves out of house and home. And on that note, the farming of fish. Now, fish farming requires food. And so what's going to happen? Now, follow this. You got to go out and catch the fish, the sardines. And remember Cannery Row there in California? Based on sardines and what have you, and they overfish that. But they're going to take the sardines or the anchovy, bring them in, dry them out, grind them up, and becomes fish food to raise the fish here. And they may be doing other things, but again, remember the melamine issue that came in from China, the Big Island, the Campachi had melamine food tainted with melamine. Anyway, got Andy on the phone. Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Good morning, and aloha to you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you were talking earlier about our state budget and the budget deficit, and from what I understand, our $3 billion projection in lower revenues compared to our state budget, which is about $10 billion over each two-year period, that means that is equivalent to approximately a third of the revenues that we were expecting has been reduced. So compared to California, which can't even pay their own employees, they have to give them IOUs. Their budget deficit is $40 billion. And if you compared it to the amount of population, their $40 billion compared to their population and our $3 billion compared to our population, that would be equivalent to a California budget of $85 billion. So our deficit in revenues coming into our government is even twice of what California is.
Right.
But the good news is that the governor and the department heads and the state government have reduced spending by such a large amount that now we're only at, well, only, that's still huge, but we're at about $1 billion deficit still.
I see. Didn't the governor come in with a surplus?
Well, remember
yes.
when...
Look...
I don't know what the surplus or the budget was at the at the time, but
I can tell you this. Surplus, all right.
Wait a minute. I can tell you this. Our economy started tanking right during the Obama and McCain campaign. Don't you remember?
Oh my God! I was wondering if God or Obama going to come into play here. But go ahead.
I didn't bring them in for that. I just brought them in for a time reference. When did the economy start to tank? It was right during the campaign.
And who was at the helm in managing our state affairs? Who was the driver?
Well,
Governor Lingle, right?
Okay,
so,
right.
Right, okay. So, but go ahead.
I don't want to
be splitting hairs, but if you want to talk.
The national economy started tanking right during the election. That's what made the whole headlines, everybody was saying, oh my gosh, what are we going to do about the economy? So,
and that brings me to an intro, and I appreciate you raising that. It gives me the opportunity to say it started to tank right at the elections. And if you remember, our governor was busy running around the country when she should have been standing here watching over the budget. But what was she doing? She was out there tanking, filling, topping off the fuel tank to campaign. So, you know, it's all of our responsibility, the unions, and our state legislators, and the Republican side, the Democratic side. We have a mess. And so, but go ahead and continue to talk. But I this isn't the Fox News. This is a Carol Cox show. So go ahead and finish up. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, I hate it when people get light fingers and, you know, but isn't it funny? Andy, you're back. Well, come on back.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is, as our country was going through a downturn in the economy, revenues to all governments across the whole country, I just gave you the example of California,
right,
went down through the basement. So then each state governor has to deal with it as best that they can, and each state legislature has to deal with it the best that they can.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not trying to blame anyone. I'm just saying the economy, and the world economy, by the way, all at the same time,
right,
went through a severe recession. And every time there's a recession, business activity decreases, and then state governments and federal governments get less revenue.
Well, that's true, and that's consistent with the basic economics. But keep in mind now, for 8 years, George Bush reluctantly wouldn't even speak the R word, if you recall those issues. So,
okay, well,
fair,
you're going to bring it on to a national level. I can talk to you about it, but I thought we were talking about our state budget deficit.
I'm saying to you, so when we talk about a recession, the trickling down effect, I'm not going to sit and just look at one spoke in the wheel and say, aren't we driving? No, we're stuck in the mud because we're not looking at the big picture. We all have a responsibility, and there's some solutions. There was a surplus here, and I'm curious, and I've been actually spending some time. I don't know if it's going to work or make it come to fruition, but I'm suspicious that a lot of these crises that we see can be easily found in the Republican governor's districts, states. And I don't know now. It's just a little hair in my brain just kind of sticks up and says, just out of curiosity, are we seeing this nationwide, or are we seeing manipulation? I don't know, because there's this...
Okay, well, I hope you do some research and find out and bring it to us on the air. That'd be great.
But anyway, go ahead, and if you got any other...
Sure. So what I'm saying is that if there's less business economic activity, mm-hmm. then the state governments get less revenue.
Right.
And then, as you can tell so far, I'm not blaming right. Republicans or Democrats. I'm just saying it's just a fact of life that we had a certain amount of revenue coming in. Now, the Council on Revenues, which is five economists that are tasked with predicting how much revenue the state government is going to bring in
right.
over the last few months. And they meet only once a quarter.
Right.
So over the last few meetings, they kept on saying, oh, my gosh, we're now going to get, you know, billions of dollars less in revenue to the government.
We're coming down to the wire, so
yep.
wrap it up there. Go ahead.
Okay, so what I'm saying is that the governor has already cut departments as much as she can,
right.
and now she's saying to the unions she wants furloughs, and furloughs means nobody loses their job, and we can balance our budget.
Right, well... that sounds good, and if anybody else has a different angle on this, please feel free to call in. And Andy, thank you.
Yeah, God bless you.
But
I
appreciate you calling in, and don't take it personal. It's just I want balance here. Okay.
Really?
But,
very good. Aloha.
Aloha. The we're in a pickle here, folks, and it's not one person responsible. We have a rail system that's being forced down our throat. We should call it the foie gras railroad, you know, something, swollen liver railroad. We're getting that. And then these tax breaks. You go back to Coalina, $75 million tax break that was going to generate lots and lots of jobs due to the aquarium and on and on and on. Governor Lingle, I know where you can get $75 million right now, just a stroke of a pen. You don't even have to consult the unions. You don't have to consult anybody. You can just tell... Coalina developers, we'd like to have our $75 million tax break. By the way, give us those jobs that you promised. That kind of stuff. But anyway, that's where we are, and we're going to close out and hope to see you down there at Magic Island for Bonnie Payne Memorial. And as I say, in life we can say good things, and in death they can't speak for themselves, and we will not stand by and allow the Hawaiian Humane Society, the Humane Society of the United States, or anyone else deride the respect and the name, the good name of anyone. If you reach out and care for an animal, you should be complimented and not scorned or ridiculed. Aloha, and thank you for joining. You can get us at carolcox.com. Aloha.
This is KWAI on Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.